Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, The Moving of the Spirit. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
See, the devil, I mean, he will do his dead level best on some things, and you may find yourself laying on the floor with a bloody nose, but don't you lay there and whine, and don't you get up and hold your nose. You get up, and what do you say? Is that it? Right? And you despise your trial. You despise the symptoms. You despise the problems. You despise the need, and you glorify your God. You say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater. I always win. I'm more than a conqueror. Right? And the Lord told you that he will see to it that you win. Again and again and again. Faith is not a place for whiny babies. Right? Some folk like it, some folk don't. It's just a fact. You can't lay around and whine and get victories. You got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You got to stand up and speak the word when you don't feel like it. You cannot lay down and pull the blinds and put a cool cloth on your head and give up. Y'all pray for me. I just am not doing so good. Well, you're giving us nothing to hook up with. We can't just do everything for you. We can hook up with you, but we can't hook up with that. Amen. Well, you got to hook up with me. Well, that means we all crawl in the bed and cry. Because that's what you're doing. Yeah. And cry with you. No, you got to give us something else to hook up with. Yeah. Right? Give us some faith. Amen. And in so doing, we're giving God something to work with. Amen. Here he goes on to say in Ephesians 2, he said, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom all you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The NIV says, you're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Well, you live in a house or an apartment, and while you live in there, it means you move in there, right? You move from room to room. You get up and you go here. You live there, so you move around in there. Well, who's supposed to be living in us? Who is living in us? God is building his house. And he doesn't just dwell in buildings made with men's hands. He's building his permanent house. And it's us. You and I are living stones in the house of God. And God is dwelling in us now by who? By his Spirit. Well, the Spirit lives in us, and so he moves in us, amongst us. Right? You know, when you see people that's lost, you ought to think, building materials. Because when this thing is finished, Jesus is coming back. When the last living stone is sealed into place by the Holy Ghost, then the Lord's coming back. He's waiting. What's he waiting on? James says, the precious fruit, the harvest of people from the earth. Now, with that in mind, we talked last week about environment. Do you remember that? Yes. You hear? We talked about environment, and we saw how important that is. That in the right atmosphere, the right environment, the Spirit of God was moving, and we saw people who were mean people, even cruel people, come and get in that environment and start flowing in the Spirit. Right? Start prophesying. Saul, he sent his elite teams, extraction teams from his military to go get David. And not once, not twice, three different teams failed to bring him back, because when they got there where the prophet was and the atmosphere was so strong in the Holy Ghost and they were prophesying, these guys laid their arms down and started prophesying. Happened three different teams. And you know that second and third team had told all the guys back home, we'll bring him back. But they didn't. And Saul went himself. He said, well, I guess if you're going to do anything, you got to go do it yourself. And he took his spear and his bolster and he went. And what happened to him? He starts prophesying before he gets there. The atmosphere, the environment, it was in a locale, in a place. And it was because there were so many people there that were minding the things of God, and they were yielding to the Spirit of God, and it provided an environment and an atmosphere where the Spirit of God moved freely. How many think every local church ought to be like that? And every Christian home ought to be like that, right? Well, the environment has so much to do with us. I mean, you think right now, what kind of environment is in your house? What kind of atmosphere is there? And who's responsible for that? Huh? Well, who's responsible for what is, the TV is on and the radio is on and the CDs or music that's being played? Who's responsible for that? You. So the sounds, and whoever inspired, whoever wrote those shows, whoever wrote those songs, whatever spirits were inspiring them is being expressed, good or bad. Who's responsible for that?
We are.
You are. It's your place. And in your car, right? And who's responsible for the words that are spoken in that house? Whether people are kind to each other, or whether they're mean to each other, whether they're speaking words of love and faith and building each other up and encouraging and helping each other, or whether they're yelling and screaming and fighting and breaking furniture. Who's responsible for that? I learned such a valuable lesson about this some years ago. I was working in Brother Hagin's ministry at the healing school. And there was a young lady who had a small child, a year, I think less than a year old, had been coming. And this particular, it was about this time later than this and cool. And it was the end of the day. Everything was already closed up and I was walking out to my car. And this young lady came up out of the parking lot with her little child. And she said, I'm sorry, Brother Keith, I've tried to get here for the service, but my baby's sick. Could you pray? And I said, yeah. And I looked at the child, and well, you could tell the child was sick. Yeah, I mean, the little brow was hot and face was flush, and you could just tell. Been crying and didn't feel good. And I started to lay my hands on the child. How many know? Well, you don't even have to wonder about it. It's God's will for this baby to be healed. Right? No, you don't have to labor about this. You know, we got a lot of ignorance in the body of Christ. Because there are people, learned people, even in some other ways, some very good people will tell you, well, now, Brother Keith, not always. It might not be God's will. No, you're wrong. Well, now, don't question God. Because if it was God's will for them to be healed, then they'd all be healed. And they're obviously not all healed. So that shows that it's not God's will for them all to be healed. Does it now? Well, I reckon it's not God's will for all to be saved then. Right? Because if it was God's will for them all to be saved, then they'd all be saved. Right? And they're not all saved, so I guess that proves it's not God's will for everybody to be saved. You start to see some of the looks I'm getting across the crowd. Well, it's either that way or not. Just because something happens or doesn't happen doesn't prove the will of God. God allows things. That's not His perfect will. Why? We have a free will. We have something to do with it, right? No, it's God's will for every baby to be healed. Right? And every adult, for that matter. So I start to lay hands on this little one. And man, the Lord checked me. Said, don't pray. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me, check me, don't pray. I thought, don't pray. Well, I know it's God's will to heal the baby. Don't pray. You know, sometimes we're too quick to try to release faith, and we don't even know what we ought to be believing for. Yeah. We just decide something off the top of our head. You may know the will of God, but there are so many ways to get there.
Amen.
And we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And just like that, I knew in my spirit something with this young woman. I hadn't thought about it before, but it came up in word of knowledge is what it was. I knew something that I had no way of knowing except the Lord showed me. And I looked at her and I said, you and your husband been having trouble. Man, she started crying like somebody had poked her with a pin or something. I mean, just boo-hooing and carrying on. And I said, that's all right, sister. There's help. She said, yeah, Brother Keith, awful. I said, well, I know it. And the Lord checked me. Don't pray for the child because it wouldn't do any permanent good. He said the child could get help temporarily, but you're going to take the child back into that strife-filled environment. And the child would lose the progress no sooner than you brought it home. See, not only are there environments where it's easy for the Spirit of the Lord to move, but there's environments where it's easy for the enemy to move. Right? And there is no better atmosphere for the devil than strife. Strife is the manifest presence of the devil. Have you ever felt it? It's awful, isn't it? Have you ever felt? You know what I'm talking about? Strife? People at each other's throats? Man, you can come into a room where people have been fighting like that. And not even know what they said. You can feel it. You can look at them. You can feel it. When you say you can feel it, do you know what I'm talking about or not? Have you ever felt it?
Yes.
Well, then what are you feeling? It's not atmospheric. It's not something you're just feeling on your skin. What are you feeling? It's spiritual. It's a manifestation of the enemy and destruction and work, his works, evil works, killing, stealing, destroying. Well, I said, this can be fixed, sister. I said, but if for no other reason, for your baby's sake, you guys get this fixed. Do what you've got to do, but get this strife out of your house and begin to praise God in your house and get the peace of God in your house and pray in your house, right? Get the presence of God in your house. And in that environment, it closes the door to the enemy working and opens the door to God working. Now, don't throw this away. Don't let this get past you. This is one of the most important things you could learn in life. Strife is one of the enemy's favorite tools because it is so effective for him for destruction.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, The Moving of the Spirit, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.
Thanks be to God, God who gives me